The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You misjudge your father, you know. He's not the bloodthirsty heathen you take him for.
Thou shalt not kill, Father Bayoka. Were you rusty on the scripture?
I know the teaching, but I also know Aelfrich. And having some years on you, I also know that sometimes one must do wrong to do right. Aelfrich tried to kill a child for no gain but wooden walls. And for that, he wrenched a boy from his Christian life, delivered him to the heathens, and damned his soul to all eternity. Uhtred is avenging a great wrong done to him. Help him in his mission, and you will be helping...
Helping him return to a life of Christian piety?
No. Not that, but...
But there is a chance. All sinners can repent.
Well, we shall see.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast all about the show The Last Kingdom on Netflix. So grab a nail, sit back and relax, and let's see how England was born. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I just want to do one thing, and I want to call out my wife here a little bit, because she is miserable right now, and she is muscling this bad boy out all for you, our beautiful, wonderful listeners, because she rocks. And so I just want to say, the COVID has struck her very hard. I hope that she's, you know, getting better. We'll see. We'll see. It's important that you recognize that she is not well today. So this episode may be a little quick because I feel terrible for her.
Thank you. Well, on that note, of course, we would love to remind you that I need to get my energy back because we're going to be having a really, really busy several weeks in the near future. We're going to try to get through season 4 of The Last Kingdom as quickly as possible as the airing of season 5 drops on Netflix in the very near future, actually. Yeah. So make sure that you are subscribed to the podcast, and you can also leave us a rating and review in your podcatcher of choice. You can head on over to maryandblake.com. There you see all the different podcasts that we do. And if this podcast brings some joy in your life, if you love how we're covering The Last Kingdom or any other shows that we cover, and you're not yet a member at jointhenerdclan.com, please, please, please think about joining. Your contributions right now will go towards NyQuil and towards vitamins. Lots of vitamins, okay? I feel like I've taken out a loan to buy the amount of vitamins that I'm taking right now to try to get back.
Might as well just give our house over to CVS.
So know that all of your contributions at jointhenerdclan.com are truly making this podcast possible. All right, let's get into the show. Right, so in this episode 402, Uhtred and his merry men on his ship, including his wee little lad, are heading on over to Bebbanburg, but they're not the only peeps arriving on ship to Bebbanburg. Pretty much like sassy Saxon Aladdin.
Saxon Aladdin.
Okay, comes off with his band of men from the Arabian Nights. I mean, I have no idea what's going on, But it was like I don't even know. I don't even know where these people are from. I'm here for it, but too many people show up. It's not going to end well, obviously.
They're from the East. That's all that's said.
I love it.
It is Aelfrich's banished, thought dead son. His name is Whitgar.
Okay.
Yes.
So I'm a little confused. And Knut obviously is invading Wessex. So hide your kids, hide your wife. But yes, they're probably dead already.
Oh, yeah. And no, he's not invading Wessex. He's invading Mercia.
Oh, he's invading Mercia, but yes, the people of Wessex know. That's what it is. The people of Wessex know,
yes,
that he's invading Mercia.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
Good.
There we go.
Good.
There's my brain.
Again, it's the COVID thing. So we're going to go with that as it is. Okay. Thanks. Mary, this is, in fact, episode 2. Yes, episode 2. And it is directed by Edward Bazalgette, once again, the gentleman who helmed technically the last 3 episodes of The Last Kingdom. And he is helming what feels like a lot of different episodes in this season. And as well, of course, as we have mentioned many times, he is directing the feature film that will be coming out on Netflix after season 5. They are in pre-production right now. And the writer was Martha Hillier, the showrunner for The Last Kingdom, for not only season 4, but also season 5. And she is the writer for the upcoming film that they're working on that we just spoke about. So big deal here, Martha Hillier, second episode ever that she has written of The Last Kingdom. That is that. Marvin, what do you got for your shields rating? How many shields are you giving this episode?
I'm giving this episode like a 4.4.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
I agree.
I'm giving this one I'm right with you. I'm in like a 4.35 feel.
Essentially the same.
A 4.4 feel. I liked it better than the premiere for season 4. Mm. I can feel the shape of where they're going with this, but we'll get there. All right, okay. What do you got for your GBG? You're good, you're bad, and you're great.
All right, so my good for this episode is my little cockroach of Heston, who continues, for those of you who don't know why I'm calling the cockroach, they always joke that, like, you know, when the apocalypse strikes, that the cockroaches will still be alive. And I just feel like that is Heston. And I love that Knut.
Keep calling him Knut.
Okay, I like to call him
because it was part of the joke initially.
Knut Weasley. I love that he and Breed are like, all right, we're about to go to battle and it's going to be amazing. And Heston's like, yeah, I don't want to go to battle anymore. I literally just want silver and women. So that's going to be my plan, friends. And they're okay with it. And as he's leaving, he's like, Breeda, get a little bun in the oven.
Yeah.
And so, you know, here's Heston, who obviously is a connoisseur of chickens, obviously is the cockroach and connoisseur of chickens, but also
a connoisseur of breasts.
A connoisseur of women's, yeah. Like, he's very attuned to it, you know.
That's so how we can tell, man.
I'm just impressed with his observance.
Yep.
When there's a camp full of men and only Heston notices that Breeda's boobs got bigger.
Yeah.
Well done, Heston.
Clearly, he's had his eyes on other things.
Heston has priorities. Everyone else wants to fight, and Heston has two priorities.
That priority organization chart, like the quadrant chart, Breeda's breasts are important and urgent.
Yeah,
for Heston.
Women's breasts.
Yes,
and so Breeda's are the only ones in the like mile vicinity, so he's obviously observing them. My bad is I feel like I'm knowing less and less people. I don't know who all these jabronis are. Mm. Like, who are you, son of the East? Who are you?
Yeah,
I don't. Have we met him before?
Nope,
when Uhtred was like, wee little baby Uhtred.
Nope.
Okay, so just pulling this guy out of nowhere.
We have the sister and the brother that's come in here
now.
Oh
my gosh, the redhead with the, what was his name? Like ass licker or something? Yeah. Ass kisser?
Ass licker.
Yeah. So we've got ass licker, the redhead lady, who, good for her. She doesn't put out. Mm-hmm. She's not a pie hussy.
Yep.
And then the prince of the East, you know, Aladdin. I don't know who these people are, and I'm not here for them yet. So when I get involved, when I get new people, it's hard for me to bond with them. It's just hard for me to bond. And then my great is Father Bianca. I mean, I just feel like he's always my great, whatever he says, whatever he does. And that little talk that he has with Wee Uhtred, mm-hmm. and, you know, telling him like, it's going to be okay, man. He worked his Bianca magic. So that's my great. How about you?
That was why I played that, because that feels like the emotional through line that we're going to be exploring a lot of this season. And it's probably the reason why they've introduced Uhtred, son of Uhtred.
I'm calling him Wee Uhtred.
Yeah, Wee Uhtred. I like that. I'll give you that one.
Thanks.
I feel like that's why they've introduced him. And again, that's why I feel like we're
getting... you're right. We have to call him Uhtred, son of Uhtred.
That's true. No, Wee Uhtred.
Wee Uhtred, son of Uhtred.
Yeah. You can feel the shape, but we'll see what happens. All right, for me, the good. Subversion. Mm-hmm. I will say that the subversion that happens in this episode, that being Aelfrich just catching an arrow in the eye. And that's that.
That was that. Goodbye.
Like, four seasons worth of pent-up frustration and anger and everything, and it was just gone in a heartbeat.
By a guy I don't know.
By a guy I
by
don't
Aladdin.
Know.
One
by...
jump ahead of the bread line.
He is one jump ahead of the bread line.
Sure is.
In this episode.
I would not have guessed that. That would not have been a theory of mine.
Absolutely not. When that happened, I had an audible gasp. Like.
Same.
Like, I thought that this guy was going to kill Uhtred, or he was going to kill Uhtred's kid.
Or, Wee Uhtred, son of Uhtred.
Yeah, Wee Uhtred, son of Uhtred. I thought that was maybe, you know, a thing. But no. And that goes to show you that this guy, Aladdin, don't have too much love for Uncle Ska.
No.
And that's what it comes down to. And who could blame him? Because Uncle Ska sent him off to wherever.
He's riffraff. Street rat.
And then he comes back and... basically says, yeah,
it's a scoundrel. We'll take that.
Yeah.
I may be sick, but I still got it.
You still got
still
it.
Still got it, man.
You know, it's an obligatory play here.
Nerd!
Yeah, we got to play the nerd cue. I mean, that's we may have to close out with that Aladdin song.
It's called One Jump.
Yeah, One Jump. All right, I will get You're on welcome, that. Blake. I will get on. Of course, you know the name, you dork. The bad for me. And it kind of relates to the situation, which is Whitgar himself. And it's not the character necessarily.
Whitgar Aladdin.
Aladdin. Aladdin just comes out of nowhere.
You can call him his real name.
Yeah, Whitgar.
Okay.
He comes out of nowhere. And it's like, it's what they call the deus ex machina, right? It's like the thing that just pops up that changes everything out of nowhere. And that is what sets the rest of all of this in motion, right? Mm-hmm. Now it's going to come down to Uhtred versus Whitgar. Aelfrich is gone, and Uhtred is in a real pickle here. Like, he thought that Bebbanburg was going to be pretty easy. Like, this was going to be the easy button, and it ain't. Mm-hmm. And we're left in a situation that is... pretty ugly, but it comes out of nowhere. And I don't know Whitgar. I don't know what happened. I don't know why he was banished. I don't have any kind of information about the relationship between Aelfrich and Whitgar. Like, nothing. He just shows up and kills his dad. Mm-hmm. And, like, I suppose there's an argument for that, like the shock value of it, but I just don't like it. It feels sloppy to me, and it feels lazy. It feels like lazy writing to me. The only way that they fix this is if they give us some sort of flashback. And The Last Kingdom has not been above flashbacks. We've seen them before, so it's part of their visual language and their narrative language. But if they just say, hey, here's Whitgar, killed his dad, yay, the new bad guy, I'm out. I'm out on that. All right. The great for me, though, now this was something that I was really shocked and impressed by.
Okay.
And it's just another indication that a showrunner has changed. And that is when Aelswith goes to see Edward's bastard son, and we get a title card with the bastards. Son. And it says Æthelstan. What is, hold on, where is it?
Like King of England.
Yeah, the first king of England and all of its people, whatever it is. First king of England and all of the English.
Yeah, that didn't make sense to me because we don't usually get.
You don't get those kind of spoilers. You don't get those.
No, yeah.
You don't get those cards. You always get
like, here's where you are and here's how we say it nowadays.
Correct. But what this has done, again, it's an indication that there's a showrunner change. Mm-hmm. But also, there is some dramatic irony now, right, that we have. Because we're going to watch Aelfled, the Queen Aelfled, the new one, the Edward's wife. And
wait, her name's the same as Princess Aelfled?
That's Æthelflaed.
Wait, she has one less syllable?
Yeah.
It's like having a sister named Jessica and then marrying someone named Jess. What are we doing?
So we're going to watch this, and we're going to watch this relationship between Aelswith and Aelfled and Edward and Æthelhelm, like Aelfled's father. And
the father-in-law.
Yeah, the father-in-law, Phil. And we're going to see this girl, Aelfled, like try to position her newborn son that we see.
She's the new queen. Well, not newborn,
but she's the new queen.
Okay, so can we call her Queen Aelfled?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm telling you, these people's names are stupid.
It's a lot. It's stupid. And we're going to have some dramatic irony here now. So no matter what happens, we know that Æthelstan, the bastard son of Edward, is going to become the first king of England and all of the English. What is the journey that makes that happen? And how do we see Aelswith make this happen? Because you know she's the one that does it.
Yes.
How? And that is a fascinating turn for me.
Dino DNA, my friend. Paternity test. Maury Povich.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
You're welcome for that. And you know what? Also, too, Mary, that is a good bit of letting the viewer know information that they would otherwise never have, because the normal person doesn't know that Æthelstan is going to be the first king of the English.
No, and honestly, I also wonder, like, how far into English history does The Last Kingdom go? Because that kid's little, okay? He's young.
Yeah.
So when we get to season 5, how many years are going to have passed between the end of season 4 and season 5? We don't know.
Given The Last Kingdom's history, he's probably going to be in his late teens.
Okay. I mean, he could be king then.
That's a possibility.
Yeah. So here we are. I wonder if he'll be king for season 5, which we start very soon. So we're going to find out. But it was interesting.
It's an interesting thing that they've just done. I mean, that the ex, they gave us some good exposition and they camouflaged it in the way that they did it. Mm-hmm. And that's impressive. And they set us up through the exposition with some great dramatic irony. And that sets us on a course of, okay, is Aelswith, like, is she really this awful person? And is she a bad character? Like, it, just the way that she's written. Because, again, we've talked about Aelswith. Aelswith has a thankless job as a character. Mm-hmm. Eliza Butterworth has a really thankless job playing Aelswith. Like, she is a...
That's a real name? Eliza Butterworth?
Yeah, or Butterworth. Butterworth, sorry.
I mean, still. that's a cute name.
She has to be an antagonist, but she can't go full bad. And she is the queen, or is now the widow of the king.
Now she's the king's mother.
She's the king's mother. So she's a good person. Like, she loves her kid, but she can't be full good either.
She's
like in this
beautiful gray area.
Yeah.
That many humans are.
It's
all of us.
It's a little like Skyler White from Breaking Bad.
Okay.
But like, not as annoying as Skyler was.
She was annoying.
So
I'm just
it's
going
to be interesting to see what happens with this character.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I love with her is, you know, when she goes to Father Pure, like, and she's like, okay, never mind. I do want to phone a friend. Where's Bianca? And he's like, yeah. You fired him, lady, along with all the other bad decisions you made, lady. Mm-hmm. And I just love that everyone's putting her in her place. And she's sitting there going, yeah, I have made some poor choices. Milk was a bad choice.
Mm, yeah, milk was a bad choice.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting... She is in a really interesting position here because she probably does recognize that what she has done in her choices in choosing milk this whole time, that she's made some bad choices. And, like, is it because she honestly feels bad for the choices that she made by banishing Edwin, the girl, right? Like the original...
The OG wife.
The OG wife.
Okay. Edward's OG wife.
Yes.
Okay.
Does she feel bad, honestly? And does she feel honestly bad for the kid?
I think so, or, as a mother-son thing, yes.
Or is she recognizing the fact that there's another play here?
There's both. And I think now she's essentially being taken away from her son for the first time. The father-in-law is taking him away. So she's seeing what it's like to have someone get in between a mother-son relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's definitely that at play, as well as the fact that she knows that there's a different avenue.
Yeah, and the fact that she ultimately ends up taking Ethelstan away from Edwin, like, she reunites them for like a good 10 minutes. Yeah. And it says, hey, look at you. And you think, yay, they're going to be mother and son again. Oh my gosh,
this will be like a weekly awesome gathering. You know, they can like pray together and then make a cake.
Whee! You know
so
what?
Happy.
And then you know what happened? She's like, yeah, you know what? Edwin, yeah, it's not a great idea that you're at court in Winchester. So you're going to stay here. And I know I just brought Ethelstan to you and you just like reunited for a little bit, which great. Awesome job. He's gone.
He's gone, bye-bye.
I'm going to take him and I'm going to take him to Winchester. And like, does she have him in the witness protection program that they got in Winchester for Ethelstan? Like, because if somebody finds out that this kid is there.
Yes.
That's going to be bad news.
I think they stick him in the farmhouse where they stuck the baby from the show that we love that takes place on PBS. Oh no, my brain fog.
Downton Abbey. Yeah, she sticks him with the farmhouse people.
Oh wow, that is real brain fog.
Very. What?
Just like that.
That's where they go.
Oh, that was great. That was a deep Downton Abbey reference.
You're welcome.
That was a deep one. Poor Edith.
There you go.
Poor Edith having a kid.
There's my
kid
brain.
Can't even see the kid. You gotta go live with the farm people. It's like when you send a dog to the farm, but it was a kid.
But it's a real farm.
But it's a real farm.
Edith took it too literally.
Hey, I will say that Aylesworth.
But we know he's gonna live because he's gonna become
right.
King.
Like, so how does all this get maneuvered? And that's why I'm saying they took some great exposition and they masked it.
But now you care about him because they're throwing
yes.
in all these people's sons, okay? First off, why is everybody having sons? Uhtred's son, we care about. He doesn't care about his daughter. Bye. I'll come get you someday,
yeah,
maybe.
She's, yeah.
Maybe.
Yes.
And then, like, I thought she was the girl with the thorn necklace. Maybe
yeah.
that was her. No.
Nope.
You know, and now we've got Aladdin showing up, another son. You know, I just feel like, didn't King Edward have a son and a daughter? Or did he have, I feel like he had two kids.
I feel like he had two kids too. Like they were twins maybe. Or
what are we doing?
I could be wrong.
Who cares?
People are screaming at their radio
yeah,
right
they're
now.
Like, how dare you? Okay, so, but we've got future King
Ethelstan.
Yes.
Ethelstan.
I'm just going to call him future King Ethelstan. I need kind of these, the surnames.
Yes, that
I
helps need, you.
Yes, greatly.
And I
are we
say
still
this.
Doing your GBGs?
No.
Oh, okay.
We've
good.
Moved on.
Good.
Aylesworth, I will say also, is, again, she is an interesting character because she does have insight for Edward, right? She does have this understanding of how things work. And Edward is too busy listening to Ethelhelm. The father-in-law. Phil. He's too busy listening to Phil. And she is saying, listen, if Ethel Red is out going getting all of the relics from St. Oswald, he plans to break free. He's got something in the works here, and you want to know why? Because I'm from Mercia. I know this. I understand that I was the queen, and I'm, you know, Wessex and the whole thing. Get it, great, love it, fantastic. But I'm from Mercia, and this is a big fracking deal. Mm-hmm. And she's right.
I'm just trying to think of what the modern thing is right now that people would like go after and hoard. And you would be like, I know
toilet
what's
paper?
Happening. Yeah, like honestly, like that's it. It's like if you start to go to Target and you're like, there's no toilet paper. Is there another wave coming that I don't know about?
Yeah, right.
You know, or like the avocados. We had the avocado issue over the last week. Now it's okay. You can have your guacamole. Yeah. But like if someone knows a little inside scoop, right. Like, you're going to want to get all the avocados at Trader Joe's this week. Just giving you a heads up. You
know? So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Ethelred and how he may break from Wessex and how he may try to make a move on Wessex.
If he makes a move or if he just says, I'm happy with my king and my cool predator bird.
Yeah, because, you know, he's going to make the move here that based off of what he got from the brother, Erdwolf.
Aslicker.
Yeah, Aslicker. He got information from Aslicker. That Heston, no, not sorry, Heston. Well, he got it from Heston, but that Canute is going to Ireland.
Yeah, that the Danes are going to
Ireland. And they're moving into East Anglia. It's going to be interesting to see what happens if they do, in fact, conquer East Anglia. And now they got a lot of stuff going on. And Mercia will be just as powerful as Wessex, technically, right? And what position does that put Ethelfled in?
How many people is powerful at this point? I feel like everybody's dead. I mean, they are scrounging up farm boys at
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah, Bettenberg.
Bebbenberg. Yeah, that's a good point. So, like,
how many young people are left? The Scots are going to come at the end and just take them all. Because it's kind of like Jurassic Park where they're like, dinosaurs rule. Dinosaurs eat man.
God kills dinosaurs.
Yeah, God kills dinosaurs. Men kill dinosaurs. Dinosaurs kill men. Women inherit the earth. It's going to be like that.
Yeah, but with Scots.
Saxons kill Brits.
Yeah.
Brits kill Danes. Saxons kill Danes.
Scots inherit
the world.
The British Isles.
It's not what happened.
No, definitely not.
That's not going to be in a title card.
No, that will not be in a title card.
Yes.
Given our Outlander knowledge.
Yes.
There is some usefulness to watching TV and all these period dramas. You do have an understanding of British history now.
You're welcome.
Look at you, Marvin.
Just give me a little COVID and a little bit of television and I'm smart.
So let's talk a little bit about Uhtred and his plan to take Bebbanburg. It feels a little hasty. It feels very un-Uhtred. It's like Uhtred always has a good plan. It may not always work out, but it's always a good plan. He's always got an answer somehow. And the plan that he comes up with is, I'm going to send my kid who kind of hates me.
My brand new kid.
A brand new kid who kind of hates me to go to Bebbanburg. And I'm just going to trust that he goes with some monks that we're like checking out and that he is going to be successful infiltrating the monk group.
Yeah.
And then he's going to get in there and be able to come up with a way to get
a signal.
A signal. I don't know what the signal is.
No.
I'm just going to sit and watch. And
I hope I don't miss it.
Hopefully I don't miss it.
Hope I don't sneeze and close my eyes for a second.
Hopefully he sends the signal at the same time that I'm watching.
On the right side.
On the right side of, yeah. Like, there's a lot of moving parts.
And then he has to open the door.
Parts.
And he's never been in Bebbanburg before.
Right. Like, what happens if he gets lost?
Why not send Bianca?
What happens? Okay, let's just say that Uhtred, son of Uhtred,
yes,
agrees to all of this, which yes, he does, obviously. But let's just say he agrees to all of it. And he says, okay, Dad, I'm going to go do all this.
Yep.
And he doesn't take the same road as the monks do.
None of these people have maps.
Nothing happens.
No GPS. How does he know the one road that they must
not
take?
Not even a map quest.
When they're going to be there.
Remember that back in like the early 2000s? You'd have to print out MapQuest.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I used to go to AAA and say, could you please give me the maps? And they would highlight it for me.
That is ugly.
No AAA.
Oh, no AAA there to help you.
Nope.
Like, there's
no
a
no
lot.
No gas station to stop at and say, am I even going north? I don't even know.
This is a lot to accept.
For
a new kid. But also, I think story-wise, it's a lot, I think, for the viewer to accept.
Agreed.
That it's very convenient. And it all works out, luckily. I mean, for the most part. Like, Uhtred just happens to be on the right side of Beppenberg. He just happens to see, like...
Thank God he threw two of them.
Uhtred throws one. He thinks, I did the sign.
Yeah.
I'm done. We're good.
Thank goodness he was like, I might try another one.
Yeah.
That was a weak throw.
Like, there's nothing suggesting that Uhtred should have done the second one other than the fact that the story needed him to do a second one.
Now, here's the scoop. I agree. We can hate on Uhtred, who was like hating on his dad. And how can we believe that he just go along and get this, has his map quest directions, knows how to do a sign, knows how to unlock a door. But I will say, keeping in mind that Uhtred is the son of Uhtred, that somewhere within him, there is that pining for adventure.
Yes.
That pining for what is mine.
Yes.
So that is the only reason I can forgive this, because this kid has been saying, I don't want to come. You had to steal me.
Yes.
And is a God-fearing little boy, and yet he's cool with lying all of a sudden. All this stuff.
But I will say that there was a legitimate motivation there to do all that, and that is, I'm going to turn my dad Christian again.
Yes.
And I'm willing to do all this stuff in order to facilitate that.
Yes.
And that is, again, why we can see the shape of what is happening here. Because Bjarke is here to try to bridge a gap.
Mm-hmm.
And the Danes, like Finn himself says, yeah, the kid's probably going to go run off. You know, he's going to go run away. And he doesn't. And he does the right thing. And we can see the shape of, okay, Beppenberg is going to be a legitimate problem. And now a legitimate standoff between Whitgar and Uhtred.
Mm-hmm.
We get a chance to learn more about Whitgar, and it propels us into the next, you know, couple of episodes of what does Uhtred do? How does he get out of this situation? Because again, he, for the most part, always has a plan.
Yes.
What is the plan to get out of this situation right now? I don't know. They're in a bad spot here.
I will say that Uhtred feeling so lost and, you know, trying to figure out, okay, Alfred's done. My one job right now is to go get Beppenberg. I mean, heck, we were the ones even saying it. Like, that's been the number one thing since season one. And for Finnan and Citric and Osferth to come back and say, yeah, the door's wide open, man. There's mm-hmm. nobody there. We just came back. Uhtred could potentially just feel like the universe is lined up. The gods are smiling upon me. I'm going to cut my little arm and put some blood into the ocean because things are working out. Even Bjarke joined me. I've got my son. I've got Bjarke. Like, everything is coming up daisies. So is it usually this like well-executed plan? Because I would disagree. I don't think all of Uhtred's plans are very well thought out. I think some of them, you think back to like burning the ships with Ubba, you know, all these different things. Like some of them, it's just the time is right and let's act now. It's just this one didn't work out for him because he didn't know that Aladdin and his men were coming.
Aladdin.
I wish for an army.
I will say that Uhtred impressed me by not giving in. Like, he was getting beat up
mm-hmm.
and he was watching these monks die. And there was a little bit of Daddy Uhtred that came boiling up in his blood. So I wonder if there's going to be, if that will rather empower We Uhtred in the Christian faith, or will it give him a recognition of, I'm more than just being a deacon. I'm more than just being a son of God. I am Uhtred, We Uhtred of Bebbanburg.
Yes.
Like, is there a part of him that looks at all this and says, oh my God, look at my dad. This is ours. What, like, holy smokes. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Like, my dad did this. And here's another cool thing. I will say that the direction from Edward Bazalgette was really good. And the editing was really good as well, because, you know, we're watching Uhtred with, like on the seawall. It's at night, and like you can see everything. Like it is perfectly lit. It is like you can see everybody at night with the ocean coming up and hitting them all. Like it was perfectly clear. Mm-hmm. And then we have a really tense, but also I think, oh man,
it was a full moon in my opinion.
Sure,
I can see so well.
It was. I think it was a really, really tense, well-shot action set piece.
Agreed.
Of them trying to get this door up because they realize
the gate,
that,
yes.
Yeah, like that they realize that we Uhtred ain't coming.
He didn't have the map quest of how to get to the gate.
And they're trying to lift it up, and we got Uhtred
climbing under.
But shimmying under. It's almost, you know, it almost kind of reminded me like of, what's it called? The Nick Cage movie.
National Treasure.
Okay. When they're like trying to go through all the different traps.
Okay.
And like, you know, and it's just that like, you know, he's going to live, but
yes.
how is this going to happen?
Yeah. Will he get cut?
Yeah.
Will his legs just make it through? And no, I agree. I expected someone actually to get cut and fall on that thing. How did they? Oh, once he got in, he could open it.
Yeah, he could open it. Like because they were, you know, they were like wedging it, and
yes,
he was lifting it, and then they got it through.
Poor construction, by the way. If people are able to break that open with oars,
yeah.
How has Bebbanburg not been?
Not great, Bob.
Yeah, I totally agree. Not great. But I thought it was well shot. It was interesting. It gives us momentum into what's going to happen with Bebbanburg, and I think we're in a good place. The last thing that I think we have here is Canute and Breeda, and how they're just going to town. Like she sees him, and they take over Aylesbury.
Yeah.
In
which is Ethelred's home, right?
Sorry, it's Ethelred's home, and the heart of Mercia now belongs to
the Danes.
Canute and the Danes, and they're in Ethelred's bed,
making use of his bed when he isn't.
Good use of that bed. That's an aggressive style lovemaking. I'm not saying I'm not, you know, a fan. I'm just saying, watch out. You might pull a muscle of how you're going at that. And maybe Breed is like, things are happening, and she's got the hormones and
a lot of blood flowing down there.
But you gotta you gotta feel like they're in one position, and Breeda is almost a little too happy. And we have this underpinning knowledge that the word is still out that Canute was the person who had Ragnar killed.
Yeah. That's out there.
You got the feeling that this ain't going to work out too well for Canute. Breed is too happy. They're too happy. Too many things are happening around it. It just feels like Canute's going to, I think by the end of the season, Breed is going to find out.
She has to.
She has to find
she
out.
She has to. I wanted her to find out last season and she didn't, so she has to in this season.
And what gives me that sense is the fact that she's pregnant.
Oh, because it just makes it even worse. Like
it makes
now
it
you
worse.
Have this child.
Yeah, and you have to deal with that. That you wanted the child with Ragnar. Like, and you lost a child with Uhtred.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you have a child and you think like this is a big deal. And you're eventually going to find out that the father of that child killed the person that you actually loved. Like mm-hmm. that's that's what makes me feel like Kanut ain't long for this world.
Well, you just think about it. I mean, Kanut is on cloud nine right now because he's finding out that this little trickery plan has led Ethelred so far away that not only can I take over his land, but they can just keep on going. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't necessarily see any end in sight in a bad way until it's of their making. So yeah, they feel great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until
all right.
Kanut,
you got anything else?
Die one day because he needs to die. No, this is that's all I've got.
All right, good. You got a Destined to Be theory of the week?
Uchid makes it out of Bebbanburg.
Oh
alive. No, I have no theory. Like that is the lowest. Please, it's a joke.
You might as well have gone to the joke. Deli. Got some.
There will be an episode 403. Yeah, I have no Destined to Be theory. I've used all of my brain capabilities to talk.
All right. So I got a Destined to Be theory of the week. And we are on the precipice here of having too many characters. We got too many things happen. I got too many people, too many places. Yeah. We got too many new people being introduced. Someone has to die. And we called it earlier. Like we called the last episode. When they make this move on Bebbanburg, someone's going to croak. Because there's just too many people to keep track of, and there are too many people, I think, as a narrative, mm-hmm. too many people to write for. Someone's got to croak.
Okay.
Here's my feeling. Mm-hmm. Can't be Bjarke because he's too...
He's the glue. He's the Saxon glue.
But that
glue.
would be tragic if it's Bjarke because, again, he's the
How
one
How about
who,
kill we Uhtred? He's new.
No, I don't think so. Although it would make it personal between he and Witka.
You can always kill a Citric. He's got great hair.
Great hair. Love the hair.
But aside from that.
Ain't going to kill Finnan.
Great actor.
Yeah, great actor. He delivers his two lines per episode.
Can't kill Osferth. We just killed Tura, so we can't kill like another innocent.
Yeah.
You know? Kill Finn. You can't kill Finn. You just can't.
Can't. If you kill Finnan, I'm out. All right, here it comes, Marvin. It's going to be, can't be Citric, because that's too useless. It's going to be either we Uhtred, son of Uhtred, or it's going to be Bjarke.
No.
Because it's got to be personal now. Because who cares about Witka? Like, Uhtred ain't going to make, he is not going to take Bebbanburg from Witka right now. He's got his weapons of the East, you know, like the random bow and arrow that he has. Like,
it's a crossbow, man. That thing's real.
Something has to happen, and Uhtred has to have payment for what he's done.
What
like,
has he
narratively.
Done?
He's tried to take Bebbanburg, and he's failed.
Oh, wow.
Something's got to... He has to pay for that. Oh. And it's either got to be...
Maybe he can just back up slowly and say, listen, I didn't know you existed. I hated your dad, too. I'm really glad we were on the same page. I'm just going to go out.
Yeah, but if Witka is smart, then he ain't going to let Uhtred leave. Because Uhtred can still challenge him for his birthright, right?
I don't know. Maybe he can just ask nicely.
You know what? In an ideal world, Mary, we can all sit down and have a cup of tea. Have a cuppa. And
you know,
and,
I've made a home and cook them. I can go make it again.
Kumbaya.
Yes.
You know?
It's a little cold here.
Maybe
a little wet.
Burn some sage.
The gate actually doesn't work. So this is kind of a fixer-upper now.
You may
and I
want
wasn't
to take
expecting
a look at
that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if this would actually pass by inspection. And I'm not willing to buy it as is. So I'm going to withdraw my offer.
So I think it's fair, but Uhtred has to pay somehow. And maybe someone doesn't die. Maybe there is still some story left with Bjarke. Maybe it doesn't have to get so personal that we Uhtred, son of Uhtred, dies. But one of those two would die.
Oh, my God.
Okay. One of those two would die. All right. That's that. You ready to close this bad boy out?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Thank you so much for hanging out with Blake and myself here at The Last Kingdom with us and, you know, chatting with us about these shows. We are really, really excited to be able to kind of watch in like lifetime with people when season 5 comes. So this is a great time. If you have not yet, head to the Apple Podcasts app, whether you use it or not, and left us a rating and review. for The Last Kingdom,
please do
we
so.
Are going to ask that you do now, because yeah. there's going to be a lot of people who are either rewatching The Last Kingdom or are watching season 5 or, you know, might start it anew just because it's going to have some big names behind it. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that fans of this series find our podcast. So that being said, you heading to the Apple Podcast app, not just giving us 5 stars, but leaving a sentence or two.
That'd be great.
That's what makes a world of difference. Podcasts honestly are found out by word of mouth and by recommendations. So greatly appreciate you. My name is Mary.
My name is Blake.
Destiny is all.